young, I'd listen to the radio.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Bob Trout speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is Mutual.
This is ABC Radio Network.
Hi there, and welcome to Same Time, Same Station with your hosts, Larry and John Gassaman. And this week, it's Howard McNear, Part 10. And on this week's show, we'll hear a variety of radio programs. We'll hear the adventures of Maisie, Richard Diamond, private detective, and Escape. So lots of good stuff to listen to with Howard McNear. We begin with a little-known show called Frontier Town. This is the case of water troubles. It's a syndicated date, but it's October 1st, 1949, in some cases. It's episode number 3. It's Frontier Town.
Frontier Town, the saga of the Roaring West. Frontier Town. El Paso, Cheyenne, Calgary, Tombstone. Frontier Town. Here is the adventurous story of the early West, the tamed and the untamed. From the Pecos to Powder River, Dodge City to Poker Flat, these are the towns they fought to live in and lived to fight for. Teeming crucibles of pioneer freedom. Frontier Town!
If you happen to like excitement and trouble and heartaches, well, there's nothing like being a frontier town lawyer like me, Chad Remington. Yep, if it isn't one thing, it's the next, and much of the time, it's all three. Excitement and trouble and heartaches all together. A pretty good example of what I mean occurred, just about a few weeks ago, about the time I thought that for a while, at least, my life was going to be peaceable. I've got my law offices, such as they are, up over the Dos Rios livery stable, which is owned by Cherokee O'Bannon, now that he's turned over a new leaf and stopped peddling his genuine Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil. And to all intents and purposes, he's settled down. Well, things were quiet. It was just before supper, and Cherokee had wandered upstairs to try to talk me into eating with him at a place notorious for its bad food, but famous for its bottled goods.
Chad, you're a man of education. Haven't you ever heard about the Latin races, the French and the Italians?
Why, certainly, Cherokee. Not only have I heard of them, but I guess I know about as many Frenchmen and Italians as the next man. Why? What's all that got to do with eating supper and a dive?
Well, they're pretty fine people, the French and the Italians. They've learned that the worst thing that a man could do to his stomach is to eat food and wash it down with water. Fact of the matter is, you'll always find a bottle of something to...
Oh, so that's it, huh?
Well, I mean it. A little alcohol not only stimulates the digestive juices, but also relaxes a man. At the rate you've been going lately, I think there'd be nothing better for you
than... Hold it, Cherokee. Wouldn't you say that those two men who just tied off outside were coming up here?
Where? Oh, yeah. In fact, they are coming up. Who are they? I've never seen them before.
Blamed if I know, but if there's a fee involved, those two gentlemen are just about to engage the services of a lawyer. Come on in.
You the lawyer who's got that shingle up outside? Chad Remington?
Yes, sir.
Well, my name's Kerr Remington, and this is a neighbor of mine, Vic Leach.
Howdy.
Mr. Kerr, Mr. Leach, shake hands with Cherokee O'Bannon.
How do you do, Mr. O'Bannon?
You busy, Remington? Got a few minutes to talk to us?
Well, I got all night, if that's what it takes. Oh, sit down, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you. Now, Leach and I come over from Sundown Valley way.
Oh, Sundown Valley, eh? Beautiful country over there.
It was, until them dad-blamed turnip farmers come in with their government homesteads.
Oh, so?
Ever since they moved in, taking over half of the water holes and streams, us honest ranchers having a tough time trying to make a living.
They've obtained these homesteads with the water rights legally, haven't they?
Ah, legally, my neck. We were there first, and that water belongs to us.
Our cattle's dying off like flies. What we got to do is get them homesteaders out of there.
That's why we come to see you.
Why come to see me about a thing like that?
Mm-hmm.
What you gentlemen need isn't an attorney. Need a little common sense.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm afraid Cherokee's right. You see, even though I do practice law, I own a ranch, too. A ranch my father left me, where I was born.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I don't know what that has to do with your particular problem, but I'm just mentioning it so that when I say what I'm going to say, you'll realize that I know what I'm talking about.
Will you quit beating around the bush?
All right. We've got a water shortage over here in Dos Rios, too, just like you have over in Sundown Valley. Except that we've learned enough to know that small folks who come in here aren't to blame. We're the ones at fault, the ranchers themselves.
Are you out of your head or something?
Far from it. Now, the whole trouble is that with the way the cattle market's been back east, all of us have been making money hand over fist. And as a result, we've overstocked our ranches to the point that there isn't enough grass or water to support that much stock.
Oh, I suppose there's something wrong in a man making a little money?
Not at all. Unless it's at the expense of someone else, Mr. Kerr. But that isn't answering your original question. As an attorney, and this advice is completely free, I'm forced to warn you that if you try to take the law into your own hands and attempt to get the homesteaders out, you'll be needing an attorney, all right. An attorney to defend you in court.
Yeah, if the undertaker hasn't got you before that, starting a range war.
Well, you're a fine lot of help you are. We heard you was a smart lawyer.
Well, I'm sorry to have disillusioned you, but my brains don't run in that direction.
Yes. Well, don't go sending me no bill for this kind of advice. And if you happen to show up in Sundown Valley, all I can say is you better change your tune. Come on, Leach. This was sure a waste of time.
Now, there go the first two-legged polecats I've seen since the circus sideshow.
Cherokee, I'll go to supper at that place you've been ranting about if, after we're through, you'll throw saddles on two of your horses and go for a ride.
Go for a ride?
Yeah, and be sure to take a nightshirt and a toothbrush along, Cherokee, because we're going over to Sundown Valley before Messrs. Leach and Kerr stir up enough trouble to blanket that whole place in gun smoke. While Cherokee and I were on our way to Sundown, we later found out that Kerr and Leach were already back there and making their own plans. Plans that meant a range war if they ever got the thing rolling.
Now, the way I see it, Leach, is to do the whole thing on the QT. Now, if we start blowing things apart, well, Remington's right. We may end up in jail.
Yeah, what do you mean, the QT?
Well, you know, not try any strong-arm stuff. Just threaten them filthy nesters. Make it uncomfortable for them. Scare them out.
Well, I don't know. Nesters I seen don't scare easy.
Oh, yeah? You know that woman lives down by the foot of White Oak Creek? What's her name?
You mean Violet Kennedy?
Yeah. She's got 5 springs on that place they homesteaded. And since her husband died, there's nobody but the old gal herself. And that kid she's got.
Yeah, how are you going to run her out of there?
I don't know if you ever knew it or not, but before I moved into Sundown, I was born and brought up in the garter snake country up in the Dakotas.
Yeah?
And something happened years ago up there that I don't think Violet Kennedy would want anybody to find out. And I think a little visit to her place will persuade Violet that she'd better do her blooming someplace else. Yeah, well, come on.
Now, doggone it, either get off my place or I'll blast y'all.
You're making a mistake, Mrs. Kennedy.
We'll see who's making a mistake. Now, are you going to get off of here?
Oh, sure, yes, we'll get off, but we're coming back. Coming back in 24 hours. And if you're still here, Mrs. Kennedy, you'll be the first woman a garter snake ever choked to death. Yeah, come on, Rach.
Them dirty, sniveling, backbiting vultures.
Who are those men, Mom?
Huh? When did you get home, Terry?
I put the cow in the barn and came in through the back door. Who are those men?
They were just neighbors of ours paying a little social visit, son.
Gosh, that's strange. Ranches around here fight shy of our places. We'd had smallpox or something.
Terry, I've been thinking for a long time that now with your father dead, maybe you and me'd be better off if we moved out west someplace. Maybe California.
Ma.
This climate, it's too severe for a boy like you and an old lady like me.
But Ma, I don't want to go to California any place else. I want to stay here.
Well, my mind's made up. Since I always have believed in doing things when I've decided on them. Come on, Terry, we're packing up right now.
Of course, neither Cherokee nor I, by this time almost a sundown valley, knew what Kerr and Vic Leach had done, let alone did we know Violet Kennedy and her 11-year-old youngster. Nor as we jogged along across the trails which lead over the green rolling hills looking down into the valley below, did we suspect that we'd meet the Kennedys as soon as we did, and under such tragic circumstances.
Chad, I have no compunction in admitting that this long ride has stirred up a considerable thirst in my parched throat. Indeed it has. Indeed it has.
Well, Senor O'Bannon, there's a homesteader's cabin down below, and I can see a well out in the front yard.
A well? Bad enough having to bathe in that stuff, let alone pour aqueous liquids into one's delicate inside.
And if your insides are delicate, then so is a railroad locomotive. And if you're not thirsty enough to drink water, hello, what's that down there? A wagon loaded with household goods.
Here, someone's moving out of Sundown Valley. They must be in an awful hurry to get wherever they're going. Look at that team run.
Yes, look at that team run. Cherokee, it's dimes to donuts. Those horses have got the bits in their teeth and they're running away.
Running away? Well, then come on. Let's get down there and see if we can't stop them before that wagon turns over.
Knock on it, Cherokee. If a wagon that size turns over, there's not going to be much left of anything or anybody. Had our horses been fresh, we might have had a chance of getting there fast, but after the long ride, it seemed hours before we actually started closing the distance between us. We raked those poor horses' flanks, and their hooves pounded on the sun-baked road like war-maddened Indians on their drums. Then, just as we were overtaking the wagon, it neared a sharp turn, and as the panicky team drove into the turn, the wagon suddenly upended.
Excuse me, son. I'll look at your mother.
She's hurt bad.
She sure is, Chad. Leg's broken, just below the knee.
Ma!
Now, son, you'd be a lot more help if you got a hold of yourself and tried to answer a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
Now, the best thing for your mother is to get her into a bed as fast as we can. Did you live anyplace around here?
Not too far. About 6 miles back.
Good. And we'll make a squaw drag and haul her back there till we can get some professional help.
Oh, no. Can't go back. Can't.
Now, you'd better stay quiet, ma'am, and save what strength you have left.
Oh, no. Can't go back there.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we've no choice. Unless you're taken indoors and cared for, you might lose that leg.
Ma! No!
Come on, Cherokee. We'll see what we can salvage out of what furniture isn't smashed to kindling, and after that, we'll get this lady back into Sundown Valley, whether she wants to go or not.
No, no, please. Please, please.
We'll return to the second act of Sundown Valley, our exciting frontier town adventure, in just a few moments. And now, Frontier Town.
As a Frontier Town lawyer, I've knocked around a bit, but I'd never really seen fear until I looked into Mrs. Kennedy's eyes as we carried her back into the house which had once been her home. We patched up a bed frame as best we could, and improvising a splint with some pieces of broken chair, we made her as comfortable as possible, leaving little Terry to watch over while Cherokee and I rode back out to the spot where their possessions were scattered for hundreds of yards over the roof.
Look here, Chad. Look at this. This humpback trunk. Smashed to smithereens and clothes and papers scattered every which way.
I wonder what anybody'd be saving an old newspaper for.
Maybe it's got a picture of her in it. She was married.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a picture of her in it, all right.
See, I told you.
I guess you never heard of a woman called Violet Stevenson, did you?
Violet Stevenson. Name has a familiar ring.
Well, years ago, back in the Garter Snake country of the Dakotas, Violet was quite a belle.
By George, I remember it now. Isn't she the one who got into a scrape with the sheriff and perforated him with the little handgun she carried in her pocketbook?
So the story goes, Cherokee. Violet Stevenson killed the sheriff, and because he had been a big wheel up there in politics, it stirred up quite a commotion.
But the woman we picked up here was Violet Stevenson. How did she ever escape hanging?
Well, best I can remember, nobody ever knew. The night before she was behanged, she disappeared from the jail.
And that's the poor woman we picked up. No wonder she looked so frightened.
I imagine she's spent most of her life since then being frightened. But since this happened almost 20 years ago, I don't know why that fear suddenly was all crystallized today.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder why, too.
This may be throwing a wide loop, Cherokee. But did you notice that there seemed to be five little springs on her place?
Yes.
And if you remember, springs and water seemed to be the principal concern of those two so-called decent citizens who paid us that call yesterday, Kerr and Leach.
You don't think they found out and threatened her, do you?
Well, it seems to be the only thing that makes sense, doesn't it, Cherokee?
Yes, it does. But now I don't know what to do. It's all right helping a poor woman with a broken leg, but helping a fugitive from justice is something else again.
Well, if she is Violet Stevenson, and there seems to be little question about it from her resemblance to the picture, I think I'm going to take advantage of an old friendship and find out what can be done.
An old friendship?
Yes, if he's still alive, the judge over in this part of the country is an old-timer by the name of Amos Peabody. I've known him on and off ever since I was a boy. And since we have to go into sundown to find the doctor, you and I are paying a call on the judge and finding out a few things, just as soon as we know that Mrs. Kennedy's going to have proper medical attention. Well, the doctor knew of Mrs. Kennedy and wasted no time packing his bag and heading out there. We weren't with him long, but while we were, someone else had gone to the judge's office and paid a call on him. Yep, you guessed it, Kerr and Leach.
Now, has that Kennedy woman got a right to stick a shotgun in my face and order me off her place, Judge?
Yeah, if her homestead claim has been properly filed and all her assessment work done, the property is hers and she has a perfect right.
Well, I don't see no sense in the government giving land away to every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
The government isn't giving its land away. The government is the people, and the land is theirs already.
And now, look, let's not get into any complicated arguments. Now, Judge, if Leach and me made it worth your while, couldn't you issue some kind of an order that,
Are you trying to bribe me?
Well, now, nobody minds picking up a little easy money, and besides, that woman's got a pass.
Get out of my office, both of you.
There's the size of a reward.
I said get out.
Come on, Kerr. There are other ways of handling this.
Sorry to tell you, Mr. Remington, that Judge Peabody died last year. They sent me down here to take his place. Is there anything I can do for you?
Well, I'd known Judge Peabody all my life, and I wanted to get his opinion on a few questions.
Well, since the law is the law, I don't see why this eminently respectable jurist couldn't give you the same opinion, Chad.
Well, this is a hypothetical case, Judge. But suppose about 20 years ago, a woman had committed a serious crime. And since then, she has lived a decent life, married, and has a son. And then someone finds out about her.
And threatens to expose her?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And if she'd moved to a different part of the country from where the crime had been committed, well, what do you think the judge who has the jurisdiction in the place she's now living might do?
Well, now, that might depend a good deal on the judge. If the man had slept badly the night before, it might go hard with her.
Well, I'm afraid in asking a hypothetical question, I was entitled to no more than a hypothetical answer. But actually, Judge, there is such a woman living here in Sundown, and, well, if I can, I'm anxious to help her.
Well, if I knew the woman and what the crime was and where it was committed...
All right. The crime, as I heard it, was murder. She shot and killed a sheriff up in the Garter Snake Country in the Dakotas.
Do you mean to say that Violet Stevenson is living here? Here in Sundown?
Uh-oh. Now we are in for it.
I haven't said who it is, Judge. But do you know Violet Stevenson?
Know her? Well, I was the deputy sheriff who arrested her. And I've been looking for her ever since she... Well, ever since she got out of jail.
I would have to go and open my big mouth.
Now, wait a minute. We haven't said this woman was Violet Stevenson.
Oh, no? Well, I've been carrying the original warrant that was issued for her arrest. And unless you two want to go to jail for contempt of court, you're taking me out to where she is. And after all these years, my search will be over.
Well, this is a fine mess with that Kennedy woman back there living in that cabin again.
If that dad-blamed judge had a brain in his head, he would have helped us.
But he didn't. Now, after boasting about how we got rid of her, we made a couple of fools ourselves.
Maybe we have.
Maybe.
Yes, I just remembered. That cabin she lives in is right at the foot of Devil's Slide. The kitchen window isn't 10 feet from the cliff.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's a dangerous place to build a cabin. I mean, there have been a lot of landslides down Devil's Slide. What if there should be a landslide again? That cabinet looked like a busted matchbox.
Well, what in tarnation makes you think there's going to be a landslide?
Oh, you're not-headed, idiot. Don't you see? With a little help from us up on top of Devil's Slide, 100,000 tons of dirt and boulders and hit that place just as if we aimed at it with a cannon.
Well, I don't know, Kerr.
Well, I do. So come on, Leach, we're getting out the Devil's Slide. And believe me, we ain't wasting no time.
Well, as we rode back toward Kennedy's shabby little cabin, I spent a lot of time feeling sorry for myself for having opened my big mouth. But had I known the facts, I wouldn't have wasted any sympathy on me. But I would have felt sorry for Violet, caught as she was between the judge with his warrant and Leach and Kerr with their landslide.
Yeah, you're just wasting your breath trying to argue with me, Remington. Even a man with half a brain ought to realize that after looking for Violet for almost 20 years, I'm not going to give up now. No, sir, I'm not.
Well, I certainly don't see anything to laugh at in this.
Well, you will. You will.
You know, I've always flattered myself on being a pretty good judge of men, but you certainly fooled me.
Well, young man, after 20 years, this is one day when nobody can insult me.
Well, if you're going to get any satisfaction out of slapping a warrant on a poor woman with a broken...
Remington, that noise. What is it?
Billy Blue Blazes, Chad. Hear that rumbling? Sounds like a landslide.
It is a landslide. Look, you can just see where it's starting up there, about 4,000 feet up on the top of that cliff.
Chad, the way it's starting, it's gonna hit that house. That's Mrs. Kennedy's cabin.
That's Violet's cabin? Get up there, you!
Of all the cold-blooded... What do you want to do, serve that warrant before she's killed?
Yeah, never you mind about me. Just get that horse running. Come on now, get up!
Cherokee, come on. There's still a chance we may be able to get her out of that house.
Remington, quit. Help me get Mom out of here.
Get Terry out of here. Never mind me. I can't move.
Now, Violet, we're going to get you out of here if it's the last thing we do. No, no, Come on, boys. Lend me a hand before the lot of us are killed.
All right, easy now. All right, up she goes.
Terry, you open that door and then run for it. All right, Chad. Let's get her out of here now.
Don't stop here. Come on, that landslide's almost on top of us.
I'll hold her, Judge.
Judge, who are you?
Hey, never mind, Violet. I've got you now, and I'm never going to let you...
Yes, well, I think that'll be a lesson to the homesteaders around Sundown Valley.
Yeah, I wish that landslide hadn't kicked up so much dust. I couldn't see a thing.
Oh, yes. We're better than Mother Nature. When we start a landslide, it's really a lie.
Yes, Mr. Kerr, when you start a landslide, it'll land you in prison. All right, come on in, Judge.
And you got any idea of making a run for it? You two filthy, sneaking, double-dealing, dirty, yellow-spined buzzards. There are five more of these in my gun, and they're all going plumb through you two. I guess they lost all their fight, Chad. Come on, let's haul them back to town so we don't hold up the wedding. Yes, sir. Violet, they pardoned you almost the day after I let you out of jail. Found out what really happened.
What really did happen, Judge?
Well, that confounded sheriff was jealous that Violet was soft on me. Got himself liquored up and tried to talk her into running away with him. Shot himself with his own gun in the brawl.
Oh, there you see, Cherokee, what happens to a man if he insists on drinking.
I don't know about Mr. O'Bannard. Well, it's a good lesson to me, am I?
Yes, Terry. But I'm so happy right now that Jesse's found me again. I think I'll let you have a mouthful of champagne at the wedding.
You hear that, Chad? Champagne, the old bubbly.
Well, what's that to you? You can't drink the stuff at the wedding. It would ruin everything.
My drinking champagne would ruin the wedding?
Why, certainly. You know how it is with champagne. The bubbles get up your nose.
Indeed I do. Indeed I do.
Well, by the time the bubbles got up your red nose, the wedding champagne would all turn to sparkling burgundy.
Frontier Town, starring Reed Hadley and featuring Wade Crosby, is a Bruce Ells production. Story and direction by Paul Franklin. Music written and played by Ivan Ditmars. Be sure to be with us again same time next week for another fine action-adventure story with your favorite young Western star, Reed Hadley. And now this is Bill Forman telling you that Frontier Town comes to you from Hollywood.
Frontier Town from October 1st, 1949, the third show in the series, here on Same Time, Same Station.
We go back now to another syndicated show. This is, and it was on network too, but I think at this point it was syndicated. The Adventures of Maisie with Ann Southern in the starring role. This again syndicated, I believe it's program number 3. It's called The Truck Driver from December 8, 1949.
Hiya, babe. Hey, how about a little... Ouch!
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. You all remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie picture. In just a moment, you'll hear Maisie in Radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. But first, your announcer. Here's Ann Southern as Maisie.
Yep. I'm like the man said, Maisie Revere from Brooklyn. By profession, I'm a chanteuse. That's French for singer, you know. Right now, I'm between engagements. That's an expression in show business that means if something don't happen real soon, I'll starve to death. Well, this morning, I was making the rounds of agents' offices, and I got a couple of offers. One of them was even for a job. And then I chanced on a big war surplus company with a sign out, help wanted. And inasmuch as a job is a job, I opened the door. And I walked up to the man at the personnel window. I had to eat. And I wasn't one of them choosy chanteuses.
Yes, miss, what can I do for you?
I'll take it.
Take what?
The job. How much does it pay?
Oh, you mean our sign on the window.
Yeah. Of course, I really don't expect it to be in my line. I'm a singer, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, miss. We're not putting on any singers this week. But we are short of help. What kind of other work do you think you can do?
Yes.
I mean, what do you have experience at?
Oh, well, what's open?
Well, we can use a typist, comptometrist, sonographer, bookkeeper, billing clerk, lithograph operator. Well?
Keep going. I'll tell you when you come to it.
Am I getting warm?
Not even close yet. But there must be something.
Look, miss, all we take care of here is war surplus.
Oh, then you ought to take care of me. I'm war surplus.
You are?
Yeah. I used to be a whack.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant, but I'm afraid there's really nothing that we can...
Gee, I drove an ambulance and trucks. Say, maybe you can use a truck driver.
A truck driver? But you're a woman.
Yeah, but women have stomachs, too. Or haven't you been down to the beach lately?
But
during the war, I drove trucks all over Europe and Africa. During bombardments, too.
But, miss, this isn't Africa. This is Los Angeles.
Oh, that's all right. I'm used to danger.
I'm sorry, but it's impossible. Women truck drivers, it just isn't being done.
Yeah, sure. Of course, during the war, women drove taxis, ambulances, trucks. But now that it's all over, you're right. It can't be done. Well, so long, chum. Sorry I took up your time.
Oh,
gee, why don't you look where you're going?
Oh, I'm very sorry, miss. Here, let me help you up.
Thanks.
Oh, gee. Look, your elbow, it's all scraped.
Oh, well, that's all right. I got too much skin anyway.
Oh, gosh, maybe you're killed. I mean, hurt. I mean, maybe you better sit down.
Well, now,
maybe.
Calm down, fella. You're all excited.
Oh, I can't help it. You see, I'm going to have a baby.
You are? Well, then maybe you'd better sit down.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I mean, my wife's going to have a baby.
Oh.
I mean, it could be tonight. The baby, I mean. You know how it is.
Well, no, I'm single.
Oh, that's why I've got to be there, to take her to the hospital, my wife. It's my first, you know.
Your first wife?
No, baby.
Oh.
It costs a lot of money, and I can't afford to lose it.
The baby?
No, my job.
Oh,
I drive a truck, you know.
Didn't know.
Oh, yeah. For this company, I work nights.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they're always delivered, aren't they?
Trucks?
No, babies.
Oh, I should have known.
Yeah, gosh, I shouldn't tonight. I shouldn't, because I got a feeling that it's going to happen. But the money, I'm afraid to tell them, but I must. Mustn't I?
Huh?
Don't you think?
Well, look, you'd better start from the beginning. I think maybe I missed something.
Yeah. I'm Charlie Pilsudski.
How do you do? I'm Maisie Revere.
Oh, how do you do?
Well, not very well. I try to get a job here driving a truck.
You drive a truck, but you're a woman.
I know it and you know it, but does the truck? Look, I drove practically everything on wheels all over Europe.
Gosh. Say, maybe...
Yeah?
No, it's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Hey, but on the other hand...
Yeah, on the other hand.
It won't work.
No, it won't work, huh?
But I just gotta take the chance. Maisie, will you do it?
Sure. Do what?
Take over tonight's run to Frisco. Oh, the dough ain't much.
Well, my stomach don't hold much.
Oh, it'll be a big favor, Maisie. I begged off 2 runs this week already, and if I tell the boss I can't make it tonight again because my wife's time is getting too close and I ought to be with her just in case...
They'd fire you, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and jobs ain't easy to get.
So I've heard. Okay, Charlie, I'll get your truck to Frisco. You'll still have your job. Your wife can have the baby and...
Oh, you're not backing out, are you, Maisie?
No, but how am I going to get the truck past the checker tonight? He'll notice I'm a woman. I got it. I'll wear a sweater.
A sweater?
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
Hey, don't you worry about that, Maisie. You just be at the loading platform at 11:30 tonight,
but
huh?
But the checker...
Oh, Bill Hendricks is a friend of mine. He'll keep his eyes and mouth closed. I'll have the truck all loaded and ready for you to take off in a hurry.
Good. I'll be there on time, Charlie.
Oh, good.
And I'll get that truck to Frisco for you right on time.
Yeah. Oh, only one thing.
Yeah?
You're a woman, and if a cop should stop you driving a truck without a license, how will you get out of it?
Don't you worry about that, Charlie. Like you say, I'm a woman.
Watch. Take it easy. Loading that loot on the truck, Lefty. And keep it quiet.
What you so jumpy about, Pete? I took care we won't be disturbed.
Come on. Let's get the rest of this stuff in the truck. I promised Shirley I'd be back in time to give her another lesson on picking locks. She's ambitious, that girl of mine.
My Myrtle's the same.
Yeah?
Wants me to let her do one of these warehouse jobs, but I keep telling her the boss won't go for it.
Yeah, my Shirley's the same about that. But I keep telling her to stay home, read her comic books. You know, improve her mind.
Yeah, education's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Come on, now, stop moaning about your girl. Let's get this load loaded.
Keep your shade on, will you? We ain't due at the Renders bus until 12:30.
Yeah, but it's 20 miles to the turnpike road, and Blackie don't like to be kept waiting.
He's impatient.
There ain't gonna be much room for any more stuff in here. Charlie loaded it pretty full.
Charlie? Who's Charlie?
Charlie Pilsudski, the guy who drives this here load.
Oh, yeah.
I seen his name on the license when I checked the gas gauge.
Doc Lefty.
What's up?
Quick, under the truck.
With me.
A cop.
Where?
Out there on the street corner. Under the light. Quick. Under here.
I kind of thought this was working out too good to last. Now he ain't going to be able to meet Blackie on schedule.
Shh. Quiet. We'll have to lay here till he goes.
And where do you think you're going, miss?
Oh, good evening, officer. It's a nice night, ain't it?
Answer the question, miss.
Oh, sure. It is a nice night.
I mean, where are you going?
Oh, well, I have to wait for my boyfriend in that truck.
Yes?
He
And what's so funny?
He ain't there yet. You see, he's driving all the way to Frisco, and I'm bringing him a change of clothes.
It's in that suitcase?
Yeah. He's a very snappy dresser, you know.
He must be. There's a bit of lace sticking out of there.
Oh, well, that's mine. You see, I'm going with him. We're getting married. So long, officer.
Well, it ain't safe for a girl to be waiting around in a dark alley all by herself. I'll just keep you company till he gets here.
Oh, well, that won't be necessary, officer. I'll drive by his house and pick him up.
Oh, you drive a truck?
Why is everybody so amazed?
Well, do you have a license?
Well, sure I have, officer. You can't get married without one.
I mean, do you have a license to drive a truck?
No, but, gosh, Charlie and me, we just gotta get married. You see, I'm running away from home.
I'm sorry, miss, but you gotta have a license to drive a truck. We still have laws in this city.
Well, you see, my father don't want me to marry him because he's an Irishman.
Oh, I see. And what's wrong with Irishmen?
Nothing, but my father...
Come along, young lady. I'm going to see that you get in that truck and pick up your fella. Yeah, your old man sure has a nerve trying to prevent you from finding true happiness with the son of old Aaron.
Oh, thank you, officer.
Yes, come along now. Can't keep the groom waiting. Oh, you lucky girl. Wait, the cop, he's coming up to the truck.
Yes, and he's got a dame with him. Yep. You just put down the rug.
They're getting too close for comfort. I got
to... Quiet, quiet. And keep down under here.
Hey, but she's getting in a truck. Hey, suppose she drives it off. We'll be caught here
You dope. Whoever heard of a dame driving a truck, you snoop.
Yeah. Hey, you know, for a minute there, I was worried.
Well, goodbye, officer, and thanks.
Oh, forget it, miss. Just save me a piece of the wedding cake.
I will, officer. Just as soon as we're Mr. and Mrs. Charles Pilsudski.
Sure. Pilsudski! I thought you said your boyfriend was Irish.
Oh, did I say Pilsudski? I meant old Pilsudski.
Old Pilsudski? But that's he's an Irish.
Goodbye, officer.
Come back here. Come back here.
Petey, don't look now, but some dames can drive trucks.
Yeah. Come on, we got to run, fool.
Get your hands up. Get him up there.
Now, wait a minute, officer.
You're making a mistake, officer.
If I am, I'll hate myself in the morning. Well, 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 look who it is. It's Lefty and Petey Boy. Are you still specializing in robbing warehouses, eh?
Look, officer, we didn't do nothing.
Well, don't worry me, boys. From now on, you'll be doing plenty. About 10 years. And so will little Goldilocks.
Goldilocks?
The cute little trick that's working with you. Yes, she won't get very far with that stolen truck.
Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment. Maisie.
Some enchanted evening. Some enchanted evening, I'll say. Hi, fella. Looking for a lift?
Well, sure am, mister.
You're a girl.
Oh, and a pretty wet girl at that.
Yeah. When the Chamber of Commerce said come to California and soak up the sunshine, they weren't kidding. Hop in.
Don't mind if I do. Whew. There. Oh, it sure feels good to sit down again. My feet sure thank you for this, Mac.
Don't let the mustache fool you, honey. It's just grease. The name's Maisie. Maisie Revere.
Oh, I'm Helen O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? So you're Irish.
Well, what's so funny about being Irish?
Well, don't get your shillelagh in an uproar, honey. I was just thinking of a fasty. I pulled on a cop.
A cop?
Yeah, well, forget it, honey. You walking back from a little session of Come On, Baby, Be Reasonable?
No, I'm hitchhiking to Portland for a job.
At 11:30 at night in the rain?
Well, it isn't easy to make an honest dollar, you know.
Yeah, I've heard the rumor. Frisco's where I'm unloading this heap. I can take you that far.
Oh, thanks. I'm supposed to start work since I get to Portland.
Oh. Well, what at, honey? Waitress or stuff like that there?
No. You are now looking at Helen O'Rourke, girl lumberjack.
Lumberjack? But that ain't woman's work.
Well, driving a truck isn't exactly feminine.
Touché, honey. I'm just chauffeuring this dinosaur on wheels because a buck is a buck, like the saying goes.
Well, I know there can't be a fortune in driving a truck.
That all depends on what you consider a fortune, honey.
Well, let's have some radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you a late news flash.
Attention, local police. Be on the lookout for a 10-ton truck believed to be headed north on the San Francisco coast route.
Say, we're on the coast route, Maisie, aren't we?
Yeah, but I ain't stopping to look for no trucks. When you've seen one, you've seen them all.
The truck, loaded with Army surplus material, was stolen earlier this evening from the warehouse of the Acme War Surplus Company.
Say, Maisie, isn't this an Acme truck?
Yeah, one of them. But Acme's a big outfit. What's losing one truck to them?
The driver of the stolen truck may be armed, so proceed with caution. She is reputed to be a member of the notorious Blackie Leonard gang.
She? Well, who ever heard of a woman truck driver? She?
She is described as being about 5'2".
Oh, don't look at me like that, honey. I'm only 5'1¾".
She's a glamorous blonde.
Maisie, you're...
Oh, that's silly. Who can be glamorous wearing faded blue overalls?
When last seen, she was wearing faded blue overalls.
Oh, well, how could that cop tell? It was so dark.
Cop!
Oh, let me out of here.
But, honey, I want...
All motorists are requested to report to the police immediately if you've seen this stolen truck and this desperate... gun mall.
Oh, jeepers, they'll give me 20 years in jail.
That is all.
That's enough. Oh, dear. What are you stopping here for? You're not going to shoot me.
Oh, of course not, Helen, honey. I'm no murderer. I'm no nothing. Let's get away from this heat. All I ask is that you stick by me to the end.
Oh. Look. A man just pulled up in front of us. Getting out. Oh, he has a gun in his hand.
And this is the end.
Good work, babe. You got to the rendezvous here right on schedule.
Rendezvous?
Oh.
Oh, the tough part's all over. You don't have to be nervous no more, Shirley.
Shirley.
Hey, this is Lefty's girl, Shirley, ain't it, Myrtle?
Yes. I mean, yes. pipe down, Shirley. You don't want Pete to think his girl has gone chicken.
Pete's girl? I thought you was Lefty's girl.
Oh, yeah, well, we keep changing fellas back and forth, don't we, Shoyle?
Yeah. We like variety.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then maybe we could be more than just associates in our warehouse robbing enterprises. You know, there ain't nobody that's got a better appreciation of feminine putritude than Blackie Leonard.
Blackie Leonard? Oh, no.
Sure. Say, used to a Pete and Lefty's mouths, ain't you?
Oh, certainly. I mean, certainly. Might have just screamed like that because... Well, you know how them Bobby Sockers scream for Sinatra.
It sort of goes for me, huh?
Yeah, Blackie. But I saw your voice.
But...
You heard me, Myrtle. Blackie's mine, and if I catch you beating my time with him, I'll shoot you so full of holes you look like a new Buick.
Now, ladies, don't fight over me, please. Till later. You know, we got to get destructed a hideout before the cops spot it. And then, baby, when we're settled down nice and cozy like, you and me... You know.
No, but I got a pretty good idea. But the Pete and Lefty...
Oh, you don't have to worry about them goons. For about 10 years, the cops picked them up at a warehouse.
Oh, but how did you...
Know how they got caught? Yeah. Oh, I got connections at headquarters.
Well, no, she meant about her, the truck, didn't you, Myrtle?
You're Myrtle, I'm Shirley.
What was that?
I said I'm surely glad we got away with the truck after the boys was nabbed.
Oh, yeah. I'll be back in a sec, doll. I gotta tell the boys to follow us down.
Oh, what do we do now, Shirley? Maisie, or whatever your name is.
Well, you just gotta trust me, Myrtle. I mean, Helen. And play along till I can think of a way out of this mess.
How are we gonna get out?
I don't know. I've never been in a horrible spot like this. I'm counting on one thing to get us out.
What's that?
Beginner's luck. Shh. Here he comes now.
Okay, chicks, we're all set. Move over, babe. There. Okay, you can get going now.
Get going?
Yeah, to the hideout. The boys will follow us.
The hideout?
Well, Lefty told you where it is, of course.
Yeah, sure. He told us, but...
Now I know.
You do?
Yeah. After the long haul, you're tired, huh?
Oh, yeah, tired.
Yeah, tired.
Okay, shove over. I'll take a wheel.
Sure. There. I'm really exhausted.
Yeah, sure, I know. It's a long haul to the hideout. You know, I'll bet when you get there, you'll be almost dead.
Well, as long as it's just almost, mister. As long as it's just almost.
Well, this is it, Shirley.
Yeah, I heard a lot about it, Blackie. So this here's your little gray bulletproof home in the West.
This joint does need a woman's touch, Blackie. The wall decorations sort of clash, don't they, Shirl?
Yeah. It's a little out of date, too. They ain't using machine guns and rifles in French provincial anymore.
Yeah, gives the joint sort of cold look.
Mm.
Very cold.
And I don't think much of the painter what did the decor here. He slapped some brown paint in the wallpaper.
Oh, that ain't brown paint, babe. That's just dried blood.
Blood?
Well, while the boys are unloading the truck, how's about you two fellows going into the kitchen and cooking up some grub, huh?
Cooking? But I can't...
Now, don't give me that, babe. Lefty tells me you make hotcakes just like his mother used to make.
Yeah, but you don't know what a lousy cook his mother was.
Yeah, you'll find all the stuff you need in the kitchen. Of course, ain't much room to move around. I've got a couple of them Navy wireless sets in there.
In the kitchen?
Didn't have enough room in the garage for all the swag we swiped.
Wireless sets, huh? Come on, Moita, let's scrub up some grub.
Maisie, you got a gleam in your eye. What's cooking in here besides food?
A way out. Here, help me unwind the wire, this wireless set.
But we can't send messages on that. It's not connected.
Well, if I work fast, it will be. You just keep an eye on the door and keep your fingers crossed. Here's where little Maisie's training in whack communications pays off.
Gee, were you a whack?
Yeah. And if I can't get this thing working real fast, I have a sneaking suspicion that both our children will grow up to be orphans.
Gosh, Maisie, what if this doesn't work? What if nobody hears our SOS?
Oh, please, Helen, don't talk. Just worry. If Blackie ever decides to come in here to see how our cooking is coming along, we'll be part of the wallpaper, too.
Hey, Anna, how about the grub?
It won't be long now, Blackie.
Yeah, we're flapping them flapjacks.
You mean they ain't ready to eat yet?
They ain't come down from the ceiling yet.
Well, hurry up, will you? Some stuff.
Sure. Oh, dear.
Contacted anybody yet, Maisie? Huh? Please?
Well, I can't tell that, honey. All I can do on this thing is stand. I can't receive.
How's about it, Chef?
Oh, just a couple of minutes more. We're also fixing some soup.
Yeah, but you've been out it a half hour already.
I know, but this is turtle soup, and you know how slow turtles are.
Well, I'm going to give you just 5 minutes more, see? Just 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Jake, you and the boys finish unloading the truck yet?
Yeah, boss, we... Hey, where's the skates?
In the kitchen, Jake. Guess what they're cooking?
A goose.
A goose?
Your goose. Here, read this.
What is this, anyway?
A little message I picked up whilst checking one of them wireless receiving sets we swiped from the warehouse. It's sort of interesting.
Here, let me see that. Kind of thought things was unkosher. Mm-hmm. You and the boys got the trucks loaded, Jake. We'll be pulling out of here as soon as I take care of some unfinished business.
Check, Chief.
Yeah. Here I come, ladies. Ready or not?
No, don't, Blackie. We're coming out with the grub.
Yeah, we're all finished.
You sure are, ladies. You sure are.
Here's the flapjacks, Blackie. The soup should be ready soon. I'll go back in the kitchen and watch it.
Well, I'll go with you, Shirl. I just love watching soup.
No. Please, lady. Sit down. I don't like to eat alone.
But I'm not hungry.
And I'm on a diet.
Sit down.
Maisie, got a gum.
Blackie don't like little girls sending messages for help on the wireless.
A gun. All he knows about...
She fainted. Imagine her being scared.
Yeah. Now, where would you like it, babe? In the head or the back?
In the back, I think. I just got a new permanent.
Okay, chick. Anything you'd like to say before I let you have it?
Yeah. Blackie, can I say just one word?
Sure, go ahead.
Help!
Okay, Blackie, drop it.
What? The cops!
Huh?
like we got here sort of in the nick of time, miss. 1 second later, you would have been a dead cookie.
Yeah. Oh!
Nothing to worry about now, miss. We got all the others.
Oh, I didn't scream because of that.
No?
No, my soup. It's burning.
In just a moment, we shall return to the adventures of Maisie. Once again, here's Maisie.
Well, that little caper is over with, and I'm still alive and kicking. And Blackie and the mob, they found out you can't sell government property and get away with it. That is, of course, unless you belong to the government. Yes, sir, the only thing that pays less than crime is television. Well, here I am in San Francisco with 18 cents in my kit. I'll get that dope from Charlie Pilsudski till I get back to Los Angeles. Am I hungry? Guess I'll look around for a nice, clean restaurant and blow the bankroll. Am I worried about tomorrow? Not little Maisie. The way I figure, worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it don't get you no prayer.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie is presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of East Side, West Side, starring Barbara Stanwyck, James Mason, Van Heflin, and Ava Gardner. Maisie was written by Arthur Phillips. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Bill Conrad, Sidney Miller, Mary Jane Croft, Harry Bartell, Herb Vigran, Ed Max, and Howard McNear. Jack McCoy speaking.
The Adventures of Maisie from December 8, 1949, here on Same Time, Same Station. And if you'd like to contact us, you can do that in a number of ways. You can like us on Facebook, Same Time, Same Station. Call us during regular business hours, 714-449-1958. Or you can even email us. Gassman is my last name and Larry's too, G-A-S-S-M-A-N. My email address is john1gassman@gmail.com.
And I'm Larry Gassman1@gmail.com.